In today's special episode, we have the pleasure of welcoming guest expert Brooke Harmer. Brooke is not just a certified postpartum nutritionist and women's health coach, but she's also a dedicated mother of two who has walked a challenging path of her own. After confronting postpartum anxiety and autoimmune illness and gut issues following the birth of her first kid, Brooke refused to accept a life without answers. Fueled by a mother's determination, she delved into the realm of holistic nutrition, seeking to understand and address the root causes of her health struggles. And armed with a newfound knowledge and passion for holistic well-being, she embarked on a journey of education and empowerment. Brooke supports mothers through tailored nutrition plans and lifestyle practices while helping them navigate the intricate balance of health and motherhood. What I know to be true is that there's this incredibly profound connection between a mother's well-being and her child's health. It's this intricate dance. And when we optimize our routines and our meals, not only does it accelerate our child's healing journey, but it also frees up space for us as moms to truly thrive. And all of our goals is not just to survive, it's to flourish as a family unit. Like, that's what I want for all of you. And as my wonderful guest, Brooke Harmer, so eloquently puts it, she says, you cannot be the best mom if you cannot be the best you. So if you're ready to embark on this transformative journey toward holistic family wellness, I want to invite you to head over to eczemakids.com/workwithme and check out the Clear Skin Kids course. Let's empower each other to be our absolute best, happiest, and healthiest selves, because when our families thrive, so do we. So I'm really excited to be on this journey together. Without further ado, let's get into today's conversation. Well, hi, Brooke. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, Andrew. I'm really excited for our conversation.
Me too. Well, tell us a little bit more about you and your work before we get started.
Of course. I originally started my career as a food blogger, but then after I had my first baby, I realized how much postpartum moms were just left in the dust after having their baby. And I just felt really, really overwhelmed with my new life and all of the things that I had to do. But then also I knew that there was a lot that I didn't know, but because I didn't know, I didn't know how to ask for help. And so I just kind of went down this rabbit hole of trying to learn as much as I could about anything that had to do with postpartum to help me feel better and feel less anxious and have a more successful breastfeeding journey and all of these other things. And so after that, I discovered so many other things that we are just not taught by our doctors. We are not taught on social media unless we go looking for it. And it's not to say that it's our doctor's fault, because it's not necessarily their specialty, but just understanding that there is a lack of support and resources out there. And so I just decided to take upon myself to be that person that moms could turn to answer all the questions that they're not getting answers to. And so now I've dedicated my career to supporting moms in a holistic way in every stage of motherhood. So my specialty is in postpartum and breastfeeding, but I also help moms with fertility and pregnancy health, and then just really thriving after their kids are here, whether you are a first-time mom or you are six kids deep and your youngest is 12. Like, there's just so much in every stage of motherhood, and we all deserve to feel amazing and feel supported in all stages of motherhood. And that's what I'm here for.
I love it. And this is such good timing to have you here, because one, oh my goodness, we need this. But then two, you have two kiddos, correct? Two young kiddos. And does one or two of them have eczema?
Actually, neither of them have eczema, but they've both had like skin flare-ups with like reactions to medication, or just like when they get sick, sometimes you can kind of notice it as like a rash on their skin. So they've had different skin things pop up throughout their lifetime. My son is 2.5 and my daughter is almost 5 months, and they've each had their own little episodes here and there. I'm actually the one that has chronic skin issues. I have had psoriasis my entire life. And then in the last 5 years, I've also developed rosacea. And those are both autoimmune skin conditions. So it's actually me and our family that struggles.
That's right. Okay. So you work with a lot of postpartum moms. And I know after each of my childbirth journeys. I was left feeling so depleted and, just running on all cylinders. And I still feel that way to an extent, but I mean, I'm past that like initial stage. And I remember reading about, in Ayurveda, like they recommend the mom and the baby get this nice, serene, like 40 days kind of alone, and mom doesn't have to do anything. And that sounded really amazing and connected and awesome, but then just so far from my reality, it didn't really serve me to read that or know that kind of info. So I guess my question is, like, what do you find to be some of the most restorative practices early on for postpartum mamas that is actually like doable? Because then, my people are also dealing with a child with eczema, with a chronic condition. And I don't like to use that word because everyone knows that I believe that we can reverse this and we will all be just fine. But for lack of better words, dealing with this issue and then also having to keep ourselves healthy and well. So what are your best strategies for maintaining both those things?
There's a few things that come to mind. And before I jump into them, I just want to reiterate the premise behind our conversation today, is my effort to help moms more than the kids. Because what I've noticed is that most of postpartum care is actually centered around baby. It's actually neonatal care. And that's not a bad thing, right? We care about our kids. We want our kids to thrive, right? We did all this work to get them here. They need a ton of support. But I just really want to reiterate that our conversation today is going to be focused on mom, because what society has forgotten is that mom is more than half the equation. And so the things we're going to talk about today are really going to help take care of mom from the inside out, so that not only can you show up better for your kids and you can heal better from pregnancy and childbirth, but you can actually help manage and possibly prevent some of these chronic conditions that your kids are or might be struggling with, like eczema. We're just not taught how mom and baby are connected, other than you might be breastfeeding, but even then, there's not a lot of information that helps you understand how that is. So when it comes to healing initially in that early postpartum period, what we really want to focus on is things that are restorative and things that are very, very, very easy on the body. And yes, ideally, we wouldn't really have to do anything, right? We wouldn't have to be cooking. We wouldn't have to be cleaning. We wouldn't have to be tending to other kids if there are other kids in the picture. There wouldn't be a lot of responsibility on our plate. And while that might not be possible for everybody, there are other things that we can do to facilitate restoration, and simplicity with our body. And the biggest thing is focusing on warm foods. And this one always gets moms, because a lot of times you'll hear people say, "Oh my gosh, like this smoothie is perfect." Or, "Now it's time to be focusing on all of your salads and losing all the baby weight and stuff." And while smoothies and salads are great and they're full of nourishing foods, they're not the best choice for our body during that first 1 to 2 months postpartum, because they're cold and they're raw. Those are the hardest things for our bodies to digest. And our body is already in a state of inflammation, because we literally lost an entire organ. We lost the placenta. We ejected a human being from our body one way or another. And there was a lot of blood lost in there, and there's just a lot of trauma going on. And so we're in a pro-inflammatory state, which means we need to be so gentle with everything we do. So I always encourage moms to focus on warm foods like soups, stews, bone broth, oatmeal. Heck, if you really, really, really want like a deli sandwich, then make it a panini. Throw it in your waffle iron and just smush it and heat it up, just so that you can make it a warm food, so that you are making the digestive process as easy as possible for your body. Something else I really recommend is focusing on hydration. And when I say hydration, I don't just mean drinking a lot of water, because our body is fueled by electrolytes at a cellular level. Our body literally runs on electricity. And that electricity comes from electrolytes like sodium, potassium, magnesium, and calcium. And if we are lacking in those electrolytes, then our body literally lacks energy at a cellular level to heal and breastfeed and tend to whatever responsibilities we still have around the house. And if you are trying to do all those things with no energy, you are actually going to end up feeling a lot worse and a lot more run down than your body can even handle or that you want to experience. So I would say those are the two biggest things for moms, would be focusing on eating as much warm foods as you possibly can all the time. Maybe instead of a protein shake, you warm up the milk first and then mix in the protein powder. So it's like a protein hot chocolate of sorts. Just focusing on those warm foods and then getting the hydration with water and electrolytes so that you are energizing your body at a cellular level.
Love it. You are so speaking our language here, right? It all is digestion. And yes, we can. It adds an extra layer if the food or beverage is cold. Like my kids, I'm so mean. My kids are like, why can't we have ice in our water bottle? I'm like, no, no, we cannot. We cannot do that. Like it makes it way hard to digest. It isn't hydrating. Just know what's hard is during that time, that's like moms just feel this pressure. I was no different to do all these things, or not even just self-imposed pressures. Like there are these other little humans that you're taking care of, and you are still in charge of the house and all the things that come with it. And you are still in charge of your job and all the things that come with that. So I know it's like extra tempting to then just grab a bar or something to make sure you're having enough calories. It's just not doing yourself a service. And it was really nice to hear that. Do you have specific nutrients that postpartum moms are often extra deficient in?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Some new research has come out that despite taking a prenatal, almost 95% of moms going into postpartum are nutrient depleted, just like all around the board. So really, I would just say just focus on like pumping your body full of nutrients. But if I did have to narrow it down, I would definitely say B vitamins and iron. What else? Probably potassium and magnesium. I feel like the vitamins are usually pretty good. It's a lot easier to get vitamins than it is to get minerals because it takes a lot more to get enough minerals for our body. So with B vitamins, you're going to be looking for organic whole grains, fatty fish, dairy products. And then when it comes to like potassium and magnesium, those are going to be like your fruits and your root vegetables and really just all of your produce. And then when it comes to iron, it's going to be mostly animal products like meat and fish and eggs. And then if you do need to do plant-based sources, then we can do things like spinach and beans. But those nutrients are not only going to help you replenish from pregnancy, but also heal from actual like birth, labor, and delivery. That event in and of itself requires healing. So you've essentially got two things to heal from. You have to heal from pregnancy, and then you have to heal from childbirth. And so trying to combine that all together, I would simplify it down to B vitamins and iron, and then potassium and magnesium.
How long are you in postpartum?
Well, your doctor will tell you 6 to 12 weeks. That's total BS. Society will probably give you a year. Research says that it takes up to 7 years for your body to actually truly heal from pregnancy and childbirth. And most women are not waiting 7 years between each kid. So then it's kind of compounded on top of that. I just tell moms, you are just postpartum for the rest of your life, at least until you hit perimenopause. So basically, just if you put yourself in the box of I'm postpartum until I hit perimenopause, that will just take so much pressure off of your plate of I need to bounce back now. I need to heal now. Why don't I feel better now? Recognize that it's a journey and a process. And if you do plan on having more than one child, then it's just going to be a long span of time. When we're talking about like initial healing, like slowing down the blood loss, and trying to get our uterus to contract and get our skin to retract and just like that really initial phase of healing, I would say 12 weeks is when we're really focusing on nutrition and lifestyle practices to really set us up for the next however many years. So a lot of my healing protocol, a lot of my recommendations for moms as soon as they enter postpartum is really focused on those first 12 weeks. And if you can really just do your best to be strict and a little bit selfish those first 12 weeks, you will set yourself up for success for the years to come. It's kind of the idea of instead of doing like 50% and 50% where you're like 50% healing and then you're kind of like right back into your lifestyle and then it takes four times as long to heal. If you can just be 100% in healing mode for 12 weeks, you would be so shocked at how much better you can handle being a new mom and postpartum life after those first initial 12 weeks.
Oh my goodness. I've never heard the stat is 7 years. That's a lot. I did hear of, you know, there's some tribes that say it's medically negligent to have kids that are closer than 3 years apart, but seven is a new standard. So that's fun to learn. But for all of us, you know, you and I included, that didn't wait that long, you're just saying it extends out the time where you can truly heal. And really, there is no truly healed place, which makes complete sense, right? Like you grew these babies or just one baby in your body. They're now in the world, but that event is a forever changing event. So it makes sense that you will never be back to the body that you were before that event happened.
Yeah. And I do want to say, I know it can sound really discouraging to hear 7 years, and that's not to dissuade you from having kids that are closer together than 7 years. My husband and I are trying to have our kids like every 2 years. So that's not to say that if you have kids sooner than 7 years, that you're like screwed. And it's also not to say that you will never be totally healed. In my personal opinion, I feel actually stronger and more resilient than I did before I had kids. It's just a different body, and it's learning how to nourish your body and take care of your body in a different way to meet yourself where you're at so that you're not sitting there saying, well, I'm never actually going to truly be better. It's not like we're trying to make our body go back to the level of functioning and the level of put togetherness that it was before kids. It's just trying to restore ourselves nutritionally and foundationally so that whatever our new self is with our scars and our stretch marks and whatever else is going on, that we are strong and resilient and capable of handling whatever comes our way in this new body. And we're not lacking at a foundational level, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 1000%. Your youngest is 5 months old now. My youngest is two. What kind of role do you think self-compassion plays in our journey of motherhood?
I just posted a reel about this today, actually. It was focusing more on like the outward appearance of how our bodies look and how we're always comparing ourselves to other women who maybe have healed differently and look differently, or saying, why doesn't my body look like this postpartum? So it's focused more on the outward appearance, but there's a principle in there that I think ties into self-compassion that I really want to highlight. And it's the idea that how sad would it be to go through all that we go through as moms, physically, mentally, emotionally, and come out on the other side with nothing to show for it. Imagine if you grew your baby for 9 months, you stretched, maybe you gained some weight, you gained some wrinkles, whatever. You went through all of that. Maybe you were throwing up the whole time. It was just a lot for you to bear. And then you had to birth that baby, and then you had to nourish that baby. Imagine 5 years later, if there was no physical evidence that you had done any of that. To me, that sounds really sad because we do so much. I would like to be like, well, yeah, obviously, look at me. Look at all that I did. And so I think self-compassion comes in where instead of trying to erase or ignore what we are feeling and experiencing and looking like after having kids, we are focused on bringing all of that with us and making it a part of our journey and accepting that that is part of the journey. And I feel like when we learn to accept that and bring it with us, that's where true self-compassion and healing on an emotional level comes from. Because now we're not putting this pressure on ourselves of, well, my body can't look like this. My body has to look different. Or, you know, I am just doomed to feel this way for the rest of my life. It's, you know what? My body might look different, but that just means that there's evidence of this journey that I went on, and there's evidence that I brought a precious soul into the world. And that makes it so much easier to tolerate all of the hard, in my opinion, when we can have that conversation with ourselves and be like, you know what? I'm actually grateful that there's evidence of my journey because, you know, then it doesn't feel like it all went to waste. It doesn't feel like we have to explain ourselves or we have to convince somebody else that we've gone through something hard. It's there and we can celebrate it and acknowledge it and then use it to help us better understand how to move forward in a really loving and nourishing way.
I really like that reframe. Thanks for that. I know I feel guilty when I prioritize like my needs and even stuff like this, like even work time, right? Like we have to deal with the mom guilt. Like I just have to point out to our listeners that both of us, both Brooke and I are in our cars right now. Like it's such
Ha.
a testament to Mama's on a mission. I love it. And I'm so sorry I have a cold and thank you for dealing with my voice, but it's just, you know, we do all these things to take as little time as possible. Like I feel like I even run to the bathroom, you know, just to go as short as humanly possible, right? To like race back into it and even just eating and drinking water and bigger things like going to lunch with girlfriends or, I mean, dare I say a weekend. Like how do mamas get past that guilt and help to prioritize their own well-being so they can show up fully for their families.
I am like 99% confident that all of us have heard this analogy at least once. You're sitting on an airplane. They're going through all the mumbo jumbo of this is how you be safe in an emergency. These are all the things that you need to remember on the airplane, right? You're sitting there. They're talking about the oxygen masks. The oxygen mask drops down from the plane. What does the flight attendant say when they're giving you instructions about the mask? They say, put your mask on before helping somebody else. I don't think that's being selfish. I don't think that's the airline or the flight attendant saying, we are out to make you a selfish person and you need to be looking out for yourself. That's not what they're saying. They recognize that you actually cannot help somebody else in an emergency if you are not alive or breathing or competent to do so. And that's a really extreme example. But I want to relate it back to being a mom because it's so much easier for us as moms to say, oh, I can just eat later. My kids need me right now. Okay, yes, technically you can eat later, but how many of us actually end up eating later, right? We either forget or we go way too long before eating and now we're hangry, or we are snacking on leftovers or whatever we can grab on all day long. We're not actually giving ourselves the energy we need. We're under eating. We're not giving our metabolism a break to digest and release insulin and like get everything in order. And so we're actually doing ourselves a disservice if we are always putting ourselves on the back burner. Now, I'm not saying you should go lock your kids in a room and say, no one can have anything until all of my needs are met, right? We're not doing that either. What I'm saying is recognizing the very, very basic things of it's important for you to sit down and have a meal. And actually, your kids can wait. Maybe if your baby has a blowout and there's poop all over you, sure, you can get up from the table and go triage and fix the problem, but then come back and finish your food. Something I've had to train my 2-year-old to do is play with his toys next to me on the floor while I'm finishing my food. Because toddlers eat nothing. And then if they do eat, they eat super fast, right? And before you've even had a chance to sit down and eat your meal. So what I'll do is if he comes over and he says, "Mommy, come play with me. Mommy, come play in my room," and I'm not done with my food, I'll simply look at him and say, "I would love to come play with you after I'm done eating my food." And if he, you know, starts to get fussy or throws a fit or whatever, I'll look at him and I'll say, "You know, buddy, it's really important for mommy to eat food because mommy needs energy to play with you and to play with your toys. And if I don't eat my food, I don't have energy to play toys with you." And that usually, even in his little 2-year-old brain, that usually makes sense to him. He's like, "Oh, okay." And then I tell him, "How about you bring some toys over here so I can watch you play while I finish my food, and then we can go to your room." Notice how I didn't say no. I didn't tell him that his needs weren't important or that I wasn't recognizing what he needed. I just showed him that there was a way for me to meet his needs while meeting my own. So when it comes to like food and nourishing yourself, I would advise for you to hold that firm boundary and say, "It's really important that I sit down and eat a meal and that I'm not rushed and that I'm not getting leftovers and I'm not getting scraps and I'm not being left in the dust." When it comes to other things like, you know, going out to lunch with friends or things like that, that might take a little bit more doing, like finding a babysitter or bringing your nursing baby with you and leaving the other kids at home, or, you know, sacrificing time with your partner for an hour and a half on a Saturday so that you can leave the house. But there's the old saying that I'm sure we've all heard where it says you can't pour from an empty cup. And when we recognize that our cup has to have something in it for us to serve others, then it doesn't make it selfish. It actually means that we're still prioritizing our family. We're still prioritizing our kids. And the way to do that is to take care of ourselves. So if you ever have that mental battle of, "Oh my gosh, I'm such a bad mom for wanting to eat my food," or, "Gosh, how do I not feel guilty about going out to lunch with my friends instead of like being home with my kids?" Just remind yourself that you're a person too. And you can't be the best mom if you're not the best you. And, you know, maybe we don't have time to like paint our nails every day or like do our complete skincare routine or whatever it is. We might not have as much time as we used to, but we deserve to have at least the basics of food and water, sometimes sleep, depending on what stage of motherhood you're in, and then being social with people. We deserve that just like our kids do. And teaching our kids that we are humans too is actually going to foster a lot for them individually, a lot more than you realize.
Oh, it's so good to hear. Thank you for saying that. And especially here, I know our mamas are just dealing with, you know, they have that extra component and it does feel like this extra weight to slip away. I mean, even for work and for friends or whatever it may be, it does present that extra challenge. Like I remember when I was really in the thick of it, and my 2-year-old and my baby were both like really, really struggling. And my baby was a baby. I was still really, really struggling, but I actually laughed one time. Like, I don't know, somebody said something like that was funny and I laughed and my immediate reaction was guilt. It's like, "Oh my gosh, how could I be having fun when my babies are struggling, you know, as they are?" And then it also was a reminder, like, "Oh my goodness, it's been a little bit of time since I'd laughed." And I just like that you said that you can't be the best mom unless you are the best you. It's something that we need to keep top of mind. So I started, and this is recent, I've always showered, right? Like I shower every night, but I just started actually like taking an hour sometime on the weekend. Like there's not a regular time, but it just depends on what we have going on, that I for real shower and do my hair and put on makeup. And I'm like really excited about it. So that's like my new, I guess I would say it's a self-care ritual. I don't know. But what would be something that you do for yourself in this season of life?
For me, I absolutely love painting. I'm not good at it, but I love art. And I have little kids around the house. So when am I ever going to be able to paint? Didn't think it was possible, especially because, they can make a mess out of it. So what I started doing is instead of trying to get a whole bunch of stuff done during nap time on Sundays, my husband and I will sit down and we'll turn on a show that we both like and we'll sit there together and enjoy time together. And I'll also be doing a paint by number. And that's been something that's been really, really good for me because I'm trying to maximize nap time every single day, whether it's cleaning or working or, whatever else is important on my to-do list. But on Sundays, that's my day of rest. And in the afternoon, I paint and it's wonderful. Other times, it's going on a walk. And luckily, my kids can come with me. So I don't have to like do it during nap time or sacrifice that precious time. But just like small things like going on a walk, painting. I have played the piano my entire life and we have a little keyboard in our house. And so sometimes I'll just play the piano for myself. Just little things like that. Something that I do every day without fail is I give myself 10 minutes to do my little wind down routine before bed every night. And some days when it's been really long and I'm going to bed really late and I'm really tired, I'm like, oh, it's not that important. And then I remember, you know what? I served everybody else today. I deserve 10 minutes for myself, even if that's 10 minutes less sleep, because I deserve to feel like a human. And so I'm doing my dry brushing and I'm doing all of my creams and all of my whatevers and just like doing that wind down routine at night just really makes me feel like a person. And that's just a little tiny drop in the bucket that makes it so much easier for me to show up for my kids because I showed up for myself. And I actually scheduled it in air quotes on my calendar. And that's something that I really want to encourage our listeners to do is if you feel like you're having a hard time doing things for yourself or finding a way to do things for yourself, maybe your motivation and your mindset is there and you're like, no, I deserve it. But then you can't figure out like how to actually do it. Treat it like an appointment on your calendar. If it's your workout, then make it the same time every day so that it becomes a routine for your kids and they know, hey, mom's going to go disappear for 30, 45 minutes because she works out after I eat breakfast every single day. Whatever it is, for me, it's scheduling my skincare routine at the end of the night because that makes me happy. And if you can like schedule it on your calendar and treat it like an appointment that you can't miss, then eventually over time, you'll be like, oh yeah, it's just part of my day. That's just what I do. And then it won't feel like you're having to convince yourself to do it because you made it a priority and you made time for it.
I'm working on scheduling like my fundamental needs, and I feel like that really does just reduce the anxiety all around for everyone, for myself, my spouse, but just like in it's even including things like grocery shopping. And it's like, because I need to have a plan for those things, because otherwise it weighs on me and it's like, oh my gosh, when am I going to fit this in? And it's hard, you just if I just know, like, okay, I'll get this working time at this time, or I can go grocery shopping at this time, and it's in the calendar and it's acknowledged, then it's just a much smoother ride for everyone. So I so concur with what you're saying. So as I understand it, you are writing a postpartum cookbook, right?
Yes.
That's amazing. Congratulations. That's really, really exciting. What would be like your favorite meal in that cookbook?
Oh, goodness. Okay. So the cool thing about the cookbook is it's not just like a bundle of recipes. It's actually a flexible meal plan. So it's 6 weeks long, essentially, and each week has a different set of recipes that were developed specifically for your nutrient needs during that week postpartum. So it's like weeks 0 through 6 after you have your baby. So like week one, we're focusing a lot on iron and collagen and vitamin B12, and all of the electrolytes, right? And getting that through like hydration and our food. So that's kind of like the gist of the cookbook. So each week has specific recipes that fit where you're at postpartum. So from week one for breakfast, I would say my zucchini bread baked oatmeal. That one literally takes like 10 minutes to make, and then you just bake it in the oven and it tastes like zucchini bread. It's so freaking good. It's got veggies in there. It's got protein and of course puddles of chocolate because that's how we do around here. I think week one is my favorite. Some of the other ones from week one are Zuppa Toscana soup, homemade clam chowder. There's a pineapple broccoli stir fry that is like absolutely unreal. Probably my absolute favorite in the entire cookbook though is my coconut lime chicken and rice. It's coconut rice with chicken and snap peas, and then it's got cilantro and lime and peanuts, and it's all like tossed together and just like this really simple casserole. It is so freaking good. My husband usually doesn't like coconut or lime, and he is obsessed. I'd say probably 80% of the recipes in this cookbook are brand new, not available anywhere else. And then I've pulled some favorites from the blog as well because they're just super good. So the cookbook is amazing, but those are some of my favorites.
That is so exciting. I'm going to have to get my hands on that. Tell my listeners everywhere that they can get in touch with you and get the cookbook and all the things.
Yes, my cookbook is still being done. It's really hard to develop and photograph recipes with two little kids. So right now I have a wait list available if you're interested in hearing more about the cookbook and what it's about, what's in it, and then being the first to know when it's available for pre-order. I'll have that link in the show notes. You can just sign up with your email to be on that VIP list. And then if you want to connect with me and be a part of my world, I have my website, thewellnourishedmama.com. That's where all of my recipes and articles and educational resources are. I'm most active on Instagram and TikTok, but they both have different content. So you actually should follow me on both. And then I actually have my own podcast. Episodes go live every Tuesday, and it's just the Well Nourished Mama podcast. We talk about all things holistic nutrition, exercise, lifestyle, wellness. I've got expert guests that come on, and Andra, you have been one of them. So that's really exciting.
Amazing. I will have all of that in the show notes. I would love to hear how you got a cookbook done with two little ones, at your heels, taking the pictures and all the things. But I guess that's a conversation for another time. But thank you so much for your time today, and we really appreciate your wisdom. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. We'll have to chat again soon.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Eczema Kids Podcast. We hope you found valuable insights and support for your child's eczema journey. Remember, you're not alone in this, and our community is here to help. Join our Facebook group, Eczema Solutions for Kids, to connect with other parents, share experiences, and discover natural healing strategies. And if you enjoyed today's episode and want to help other parents find comfort and solutions for their kids, please take a moment to leave a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback makes a huge impact and spreads awareness about our mission. Stay tuned for more empowering conversations, expert advice, and stories of triumph over eczema. Together, we can create a supportive network and make a positive difference in the lives of eczema families everywhere. Thank you for being a part of the Eczema Kids Podcast community, and until next time, take care and be well.